Well, it's good to be in the Lord's house.
Yes.
Y'all about killed me this morning. But when I come around here and told you I was weak, I'd be hanging on for dear life. I said, I'm going home getting some rest.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank God.
Let me get these mints swallowed. Why don't you turn over to Psalm 119?
Yes, good.
I'm just going to... I woke up the other morning about... I got two things on my heart, and I'm just really trying to know the will of God. Both of them deal with the same, about the same issue. I had a student in school once. I taught the Bible in Bible colleges for almost 22 years. I started in Louisville, Kentucky, teaching up there for an old man that was, he's the first man that had real, could really defend his faith, the King James Bible. See, I was taught the other way. But he challenged me and he took me out. He took me out, got me. I couldn't refute what he said. So in my prayer time, Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7, pulled me over the top. He says, kept that word forever, preserved it, purified it. One place he says, kept it to 1,000 generations. That's 35,000 years. Forever. And then he said, it's forever settled in heaven. That's what he said. And I found great peace in my heart when I decided I wouldn't look nowhere else.
Amen.
I find what I wanted in this book.
Amen.
And we have all kinds of people, but I mean this book's got the word.
Amen.
When I fell back on that and started resting on that and never looked nowhere else,
amen,
I didn't care what it said. You know, it says charity. So all it should have been translated love. Well, I know a little bit about all that. You go back there and find them old men. There's just 46 of them that agreed it ought to be called charity. Prayerful, God-honoring, God-anointed men said, no, we won't call it love. We're going to call it charity. Charity is given to somebody. You don't even know who they are and don't care.
Buddy, God.
Amen.
I think it's right.
Amen.
It's because we don't have enough sense to know how to... You know what? We think we know everything. We're the smartest generation ever lived. And we can't figure that out.
Right.
The smartest men in the world at that time, the smartest man was John Reynolds. He was the head of that committee.
Yes, he was.
He didn't have a bit of respect for the king. He made fun of him wearing a wedding ring. Jewelry. Didn't dress, didn't bow. This old book. And it's told me everything I need to know.
Amen.
I found myself so satisfied with the Bible.
Amen.
And there's treasures hidden in it that I don't want to say I wish. We're talking about wishing we was in heaven. I want to say this, there's treasures in it you couldn't in 100 lifetimes dig up, but they're there for you.
Yes, sir.
He put them in there for you and me. And if I quit this playing around and letting God just pass by, like I was talking about this morning,
yes,
if I'll just get serious about it, if God stopped the heavens, listen, He slew His own Son before there was any shadow ever cast on a mountain ridge anywhere.
Amen.
Before there was any light or dark.
Right.
Went back in there in a black, dark midnight of eternity and spoke a word. And I'm not so sure that He didn't say when He said, let there be light, that Jesus was slain in His heart right there.
Yeah.
Could have been because He said, I am the light of the world.
Yeah.
Right. Amen. You just don't know. I mean, you got to be careful. You say you can't be dogmatic about it. But I'm just telling you, buddy, God's got treasures. If you'll just plow in that field,
amen,
you'll find the treasure.
Amen.
Now, He ain't going to find it if you're just playing games.
Right.
I thought a lot about Him going out there and hiring them men to work for Him.
Uh-huh.
At the first hour and sixth, or, you know, all hours a day. Why would a man stand in the 11th hour and take a job?
Yeah.
I bet he didn't think, well, ain't nobody going to hire me.
That's right.
I'm not sure which one of them guys had to Had the most to brag on. One fellow went out there first thing and said, "Oh, well, I've got to get some money today." But that guy, that last guy said, "I don't know if anybody will get me or not, but oh, it's just somebody.
Amen.
He might be me.
Yes,
I'm not sure who he is." But there's treasures all in there. Talk about this morning. It's at noon meal. We talk about the Lord. He said, "All scriptures given by inspiration of God, that the man of God be truly furnished unto all good work." He's not talking about all the men of God. He's talking about you. You want to know what that book says, and you pray, and you are a man or woman of God, a person of God. I don't know that he's really meaning a preacher. He may be. I didn't look the word up. It might have been man, period, just a man, male.
Yeah.
And he said, you stick your nose over in there and taste that good word.
Yeah.
And he'll open her up to you.
Amen.
That's right. He will.
Right.
You'll be truly furnished too.
That's right.
When you get that, you'll be truly furnished. Somebody come along and say, "That ain't what that means." Just say, "Yeah, you better tell God. That's what he told me it means."
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I remember Brother Joel, I read the Bible through the first time. It took me a year and a half to read it the first time. I was a slow reader. But I remember this day. I've read it 40 some times. I remember this day. Exactly what it meant to me that day. I do. That first reading, buddy. I was hungry, buddy. I was supping at the honey bucket of God. And I remember. My professor said, "Don't mean that. It means this." I said, "Well, I'll have to strain hard to change, but I will if I need to, but I never got her chance." Oh, I'm serious about that.
Right.
I'll tell you where first one. I don't know why I'm telling you this. Said them Midianites pulled him out and sold him to them Ishmaelites. Said them same people. Said his brothers pulled him out there and sold him. That ain't true. Read it again. They sitting around the campfire roasting hot dogs. Said, "Somebody go get Joseph." Went over and old Joe was gone. Them Ishmaelites had pulled him out and sold him to them Midianites. Or vice versa. Which one? And Joseph always felt like his brothers made a deal with them pillars and sold him out. Two bands of people going by. One found him, sold him to the other.
That's right.
That's exactly right. If you don't mean that, we'll meet at the judgment and find
Amen.
Out. I'm going to say that's what my professor said. "No, that ain't what it means." I said, "Well, you better read again." "I'll read again, you read again." I don't know where he ever read it again, but I read it a lot of times. Me and old Totsie read it through about 5 or 6 years together. We come closer every time believing it's two bands of people selling him. Well, so the God tell you something. He tell you what it means.
Right.
"That thine eye be evil." He said, "The light of the body's the eye." He said, "If the light that's in you be darkness." How can that be? There's no light in that. What's he mean? The power of the body
is
the direction of your eye. If that direction is evil, how black and dark is that body inside? It's right.
Yes, sir.
You can't help a guy like that.
That's right.
So my verse this evening, I'm going to do my best, preacher.
Yes, sir.
He said in verse 18, "Open thou mine eyes,
oh, yes,
that I may behold wondrous things how thou liest."
Hey,
you know, I got a Bible, Brother Joel. I bought it at an Ollie's. I've been thinking for a long time about buying a Bible and not writing in it. I keep notes. I write notes. I put them in my computer, print them out, carry them with me. All the time, Brother Milby and I were talking one day. I said something about the notes, and he said, "Some people can't remember, Brother Wayne." Well, I'm probably one of them guys. I don't remember too good. I have a book on expository preaching without notes. He said, he tells you how to study the Bible till it's in you. That's the way God wants you to do, study it till it's in you.
Yeah.
You don't have to read nothing. You just know it's in there. You know what he's wanting to say in you. And this verse opens to me a great amount of thought. "Open thou mine eyes." One of my students, that was his favorite verse. He said, "That'll be my life verse." Pastor's a big church in Pennsylvania, right up north of Pennsylvania, Slippery Rock, Pennsylvania. And he said, "That's my life verse." But he forgot his life verse, but when he said that, I was his teacher. Been about 20 years ago, 18. I said, "Lord, what a verse. Would you say that with me? Ain't that right? What a verse." He's telling the Lord, "Open thou mine eyes." Now, you can't do that with a haphazard mind.
Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And I preached on it. I've never done it good, never done it justice. I'm going to try again tonight. Open thou mine eyes. You know, the Bible talks about Jesus telling stories in parables. So why do you speak in parables? That see and they see not. And hear and they hear not. Isaiah 6. Their hearts are dark. They can't understand. One time in Luke he said, I do that so their eyes will be blind. Can you believe God would say, I've done it to blind their eyes? What it says, Luke 8, I think it is. I got it written down somewhere, 8:10. He said, I've done that to blind them. This verse, I got up a few days ago. I say a few days, week, 2 weeks, I don't know. And I get up all hours of the night. I woke up, told you this morning, 3:30, and then 4:30, something like that. I pray all the time. You know, I heard a man say this, spend more time with Jesus than you do anybody. Say, I can't do that. It's because you don't want to.
Right.
You can stay as long as you want to. Sure. You don't have to leave your job. You don't have to quit what you're doing. You can talk to God and everywhere.
Yeah.
And praying is not a bunch of names. It's some of people you know. Praying is really, really, really praying is worship.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
If you don't, you know, he said, I remember years ago, I studied all everything I find on prayer. And old Torrey wrote a book on How to Pray by R.A. Torrey. One of them chapters said prayer was made by the church, unto God by the church in Acts for Peter. They said, well, before you pray, you ought to be sure you're praying to God. If you can slow down and make sure you got connected up, then you pray.
That's good.
And that's right. That is right. And so when I wake up, first thing I want to do, I said, I need a song. I need victory. I need to feel you, touch you, see you. I want these eyes, hear me, to see you. These hearts, this heart to see, these ears. I'm listening. I want you to talk to me. You know how he does. Brother Joel's right. You don't study the Bible for a message. If you ain't read your Bible, you have to do that. But you ought to read a lot.
Yeah.
And then go off, leave your Bible alone, go off. Start talking to him about your stresses and such. And he always, it's just a quiet little breeze comes rolling in.
Amen.
You don't have no idea how it got in there. And he lays one of them little things on you. And I told him, I told your preacher this morning going out, I said, this morning when that got on my heart, I said, Lord, this ain't going to work, but I'm going to do it. And I bet I've done that 100 times. This ain't going to work. But it worked every time.
Amen.
And I told him again a while ago, this ain't going to work. I got up early, and I always think he wants to talk.
Yeah.
He's lonely. Why did he create you to start with?
That's right.
He didn't need anything. There's That's something right. missing, or God would not have put you out here.
That's right.
And the very first people he made broke his heart and divided, put a division between him and us. That is to say, his flesh.
Yeah.
Y'all with me?
Yeah.
Put a division.
Right.
What happened when Jesus died on that cross? That division was rent.
Right.
Is that right?
Right.
It was rent from top to bottom, not from bottom to top. It come from heaven. The rent came from heaven.
Right.
You know what a rent garment is? It's a violent act. It's not a kind little scissor mark. No. It's a violent act.
That's right.
The almighty wrath of God smote that curtain. And said, no longer will a man not be able to get to me.
Amen.
What was done in that garden is undone in this garden.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And you know, listen, you talk about the creation. Open thou mine eyes. You talk about him creating 6 days and resting on the seventh. He didn't rest from being wore out. He put her in neutral.
Yeah.
Shoved it up neutral, but he didn't turn her off.
Amen.
So what you waiting on? Why you leave this thing running? He said, I got one more thing to create. What do you think it is? He said, I'm going to need a bride for my son.
Amen.
So I'm going to make a new creature.
That's right.
That is creation.
Yes, sir.
Something for nothing.
Amen.
Something from nothing.
Amen.
When He got you, He got nothing.
That's right.
He put you in that family, you're nothing, and He made something out of you. Hallelujah, glory to God. I don't know where you went under that, but I'm in on it.
Amen.
Found me in a muckhole of sin, and He pulled me. I said, I was praying the other day, I said, you're a scavenger. I was trying to think about a salvager, but I couldn't come up with it. He gave me scavenger. So I said, if I'm all right, I'm going to put a big S on it, because it's really somebody.
Yeah.
A scavenger is somebody that goes by the junk pile and finds something he can scavenge.
Yeah.
If there's any good in it, he just leaves it laying there till there ain't no good in it.
Yeah.
And if it looks up at him with wanton eyes.
Yeah.
He said, okay, I'll tell you, if that's what you want to do, I'm gonna start. When I get on, you'll be brand new.
Amen. Thank God.
Oh, buddy.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, yeah, praise the Lord. I was laying there early. I think it was 1:30, honey, wasn't it? I told her the story. Honey, was it 1:30 that morning, wasn't it? I climbed over in that chair, and I thought that I couldn't sleep because of bed. I thought I'd go to sleep, and oh, my eyes come open. You know, I want Him to open my eyes. I don't want to sleep when He's talking.
That's right.
Amen. It's the best. I think it's the greatest. This good brother is 91 years old. We do know by physicians and scientific world, you get old, your body don't make melatonin. You think you slept enough, 2 or 3 hours. And you haven't, you need to go back to get a bed. When you get to feeling sleep again, go back to bed and make up what you need. You need 8 hours. So I'm old. I'm not old as you are. But my body says, you've had enough in about 3 hours. If I go to bed at 10, at 1, I'm awake.
Amen.
Just like I got to get up and go to work. You that way?
Amen.
Oh, I've used it to my advantage and His. If I can't go to sleep, I'll say, well, here we are. If we're going to get this thing started, I want to worship you.
Thank you, Lord.
That's the first thing I tell him. If we're going to get this started, I want to worship you. You can't worship Him with a cold heart. You can't worship Him without love. He's talking about love. You can't worship Him without that. You got to love Him. I love that woman back there. I've been married to her 56 years this year. Yep. But I fell in love with her again twice more. That's right, ain't it, honey?
Yes,
about 15 years ago, I heard that song about that old woman in that funeral of her husband. Said they'd been saved or married 40-some years. And that's exactly how many years I've been saved. So that's a long time. 16 years ago. Whatever it says in that song is how long we was married. It's our anniversary that year. And I fell in love with her, and I called her, and I told her how much I loved her. And let me tell you how she reacted. Can I tell them you won't be mad at me? You do. I'm sure glad you do, honey. I was stationed overseas. We got married 28 days later. I went over to England, France, North Africa. Oh, it was awful. Our honeymoon was spent by letters. We didn't show much love. And when some of them old boys would come home, they'd say, I'm going by you. By Kentucky, I'll be driving through Kentucky. Let me stop by and give your wife a kiss for you. Well, you know, we's always goofing around or out of cutting. I'd had a gun and shot him, been easier on him.
Yeah.
No, secondhand kisses don't ever work, do they? You come in the house one day and God's kissed you, and you go in there and tell your wife, God just... give me something. Where you at, sister? He's back in there somewhere. Said, God, just give me something. You tell her, and she says, yep. She don't a bit more know what you're talking about than a goose. She just quit trying to kiss him with his kiss of what he kissed you with.
Right.
I was laying in that chair sleeping, or trying to sleep, and I prayed, and I worshiped him a while.
Thank you, Lord.
And that's where he gave me that Song of Solomon 4:9. I ravished him with one eye. You can really get him turned on if you'll try. I mean, you just think God's a dead animal, buddy. He ain't dead no more.
No, sir.
Just tell him. Just you know the Bible talking about pleasing him?
Yeah.
He said if you'll please him, your enemies won't even bother you.
That's right.
Oh my, I'm just rambling. And I laid there and I said, can I just really turn you on? That sounds bad, but that's the only words I knew to use. And I said, Lord, I read this Bible a lot. I don't think there's a word in there about it. About 15 minutes, he said, check out Song of Solomon 4:9. He said, thou hast ravished my heart with one of thy eyes. I looked up the word. It means what it said.
Yeah.
Ravished his heart. Hey. You can make him fired up.
Amen.
Hey, right. I just can't believe that. Well, that's because you don't believe the Bible.
Amen. Hey, amen. Hey,
but you know, preacher, I was laying there, and I was worshiping. My mind went back to my childhood. Y'all be with me now. You let me tell you a story.
Yes, go ahead, brother.
I've hunted almost as long as I can remember. My daughter said Daddy had a knife in his diaper when he was young. So I don't know when I started carrying a knife, but I'd feel naked if I didn't have one on me tonight. And if that blade wasn't sharp enough to shave you, I'd go home and sharpen it. Hillbillies are that way. But you know, I had to play alone. Y'all let me tell this story. I had to play alone. Daddy wouldn't let me run with older boys. They had bad ways. We had a sodomite in our community. I didn't know it till I was grown and left home. I'm glad for a daddy wouldn't let me fool with them older boys.
Amen.
Wouldn't let me hang around. We had a woman, a girl in our community was she'd be with anybody. I didn't know that till I was a grown man. I found it out. Daddy made me, he just wouldn't let me fool with them.
Yeah.
So I hunted. There's about 2,000 acres behind our house. Nobody owned it. We didn't even know that. Nobody owned it. Woods and creeks and gullies. And Daddy, I had a .22 rifle. Until I was 12, I hunted with it. I took it with me everywhere in case I run into a snake or something. I had bad eyes. I couldn't see good. And so a little hole in the trees that size looked like it was this big because my eyes blurred it to me. If a squirrel jumped, I could see him real easy. When I got my glasses, it's harder to see him, you know, because I could see it clear. But I hunted squirrels, kept snakes off me, shot a lot of copperheads, a lot of them. As a 10, 11, 12-year-old boy, I was 12 years old, Daddy let me have a shotgun. But I didn't even hunt with a shotgun then. He's kind of afraid for me to hunt with it much. But I did hunt with it and played in the woods. And I remember we had them big, a lot of woods. And I go back in there and try to discover things. And I was just adventuresome. And wintertime, I'd be back in there. This is the truth I've ever told my whole life. I'd lose the time of day. And it'd be snow on the ground and ice froze. And the gullies, little ice patches would be froze. Sometimes drank out of the puddles of water out in the little gullies. They couldn't be nasty because there wasn't nothing in there. Eat the ice. Just had a wonderful time. The sun would go down on me and catch me in the woods in the dark. And it'd be so dark you couldn't reach, see your hand in front of you. And I'd feel my way out of that holler. My fingers, we didn't wear gloves because we didn't believe men wore gloves. Just wimps. I'm telling you now, I know you think I'm crazy. I was raised hard. I carried that old shotgun. It'd get froze. My fingers get froze. We didn't wear long johns or nothing like that. We didn't know what them were. My britches would be froze above my knees. We didn't have heavy shoes. Just wet, old feet wet and froze nearly dead. Toes numb. Make my way out of that holler. Cold, cold winter. Be dark. Daddy had been home early. They'd been home a long time. Done eat supper. I'd go out of that holler and cross them little ridges. And there was a big old beech tree there. Big enough that if you cut a hole in it, you'd drive a Volkswagen through it. Great big old tree. Beech tree. They always said there's a monster lives in that tree. And I'd go by that. I'd cock that hammer on that shotgun. I'd go by. If he come out of there, I was going to eat him if I could. He never did come out. I don't know. I guess he's afraid. Saw that gun. Scared him. I'd slip on by another big beech tree and come off a little place, go through a gap in the hills and make a right turn. And there, just a few feet down from that cut, was an old roadbed. It was probably there back from the start of time. It was an old roadbed followed around the side of that hill. And I'd be about a half mile from home or maybe a little less. and be dark and cold, but I knew that road bed. I've been played on it hundreds of times. Had my gun over my arm like that, my fingers, hands shoved in my shirt or somewhere in my pants to keep me warm. And I'd be making my way. Well, right up the way a little bit, there was a slide on the side of the hill that slid off the hill. There's an old sugar tree come out like that, and sometimes I walked out on that sugar tree. It's about that big around. But that road bed, it fell down there. So you was right here, and then down there's a road bed, and then back up here. So I was either going to have to go up the hill and negotiate around it or go down on that road and climb back up out of it in the dark. And as I stressed along many, many times, church, this happened. It's not scripture now. I'm just telling you what happened to me as a boy that's come to mean something to me as a man. I come to the edge of that hole. I don't even remember when it started, but it had to start very young, cold, no leaves, solid woods between here and home. And somehow or another, I'd see the light with one eye shining out of that kitchen window. It was yellow in them days. There were no bright lights. These looked like a welder to there's old yellow lights like a candlelight. I see that light and I'd stop. And it'd say, "Come on home, son. It's warm here. The fire's in the stove. The beans are on the stove and the cornbread's in the oven. And sweet milk in the refrigerator. And people that love you. And heat coming out of them registers." It said, "Come on home." And I see it with one eye. I stand there a few minutes and I go, lean over just a little bit, I'd see it with the other eye. I told that story to my little grandchildren a lot. I always want Dad, Papa to tell them the story. Just the other day, he told me about that little incident. And he said, "Wayne, if a sinner's going to get saved, he's going to have to get in position. See that light."
Yes.
It's not much chance of them seeing that light no more, hardly. Yep. They're playing so hard and running so rough, they're not even looking.
Right.
Oh, my. Listen, you're hearing what I'm telling you. If you don't get in the right position, God will never be able. I wanted to be saved. My heart began to yearn to be saved. It took 6 years for God to get me lined up.
Yep.
Where I could see that light.
That's good.
It took 6 years to get me where I could see that light. And you know what that first thing that light did? It condemned me.
Yes.
You're a renegade and a rebel. Mm-hmm. And then that light began to say, "But there's hope for you. I'm under conviction. I'm going to hell and I want to be saved." He said, "There's that light. If you'll just repent and come into yourself and you keep following that light, I'll show you what to do." And God showed me how to get saved. Amen. "Open thou mine eyes." Let me tell you what. People have got eyes, but they can't see.
That's right.
And they got ears, but they can't hear.
Yep.
They got a heart, but they do not understand.
Yep.
I remember Roloff telling that story about them birds. He said they went out there to get them fish out of the intercoastal. Took all them boys in them boats. And they'd go when the tide went down. And when the tide got down, there'd be a big old ring around that island. And them fish would be trapped in that water. And that water started getting warm. And them old big long-legged birds would start crawling around where they's at. And directly the water would go down through that sand and their fins would be sticking up. And Roloff said them birds would just, they wouldn't ever jump on one of them fish. They'd just walk around and watch and wait on them. And that old hot water would get warm and they'd get real lazy, you know, and they'd quit wiggling. And that old bird would slip up beside him. If it scared him, he'd wiggle a little bit. He'd back up, wait till that heat got to him. And finally, he'd get warm and warm. And finally, he'd lay still, and that bird would reach over and pow, pop out one of his eyes and run back. And the fish would throw a fit. In a few minutes, he'd settle back down. He'd slip around on the other side of him and pop that other eye out. Now he can't even find his way out. He's not going to make it. He'll be food in that bird's belly in a few minutes because he can't see. How many times have I seen people say, "I don't see it, Brother Wayne. I don't see that. I don't believe that." I received a text today, a boy trying to get his daughter to leave a boy alone. He's bad news for her.
Yeah.
I sent him a text and I said, "That boy will never quit being that. He'll never stop being a rebel." And I said, if he does stop, he'll be an old man. You'll have to live with him all the way through the transition from being a rebel openly to trying to at least ask God to help him get out of it. I know of many a women, because they couldn't see, their eyes had been robbed from them by the devil.
Right.
They married into hell on earth and lived a whole life in it.
That's right.
Because they would not let that light.
That's right.
Amen. I remember this when I wanted to serve God. I cried out, Lord, I want to serve you. I want to live for you. He got me in position. I was crowding my way along, and all of a sudden I saw that little light. He said, I've come to tell you how to live for me. And oh, it was a great day. I wouldn't have given up my light for nothing. I kept following that light until it became both eyes. I kept going until I could see fully what he had in mind for me. On and on it goes. What God wants me to do, I saw that light. I started to call this message. If I ever called it one, I saw the light. I did see the light.
Yeah.
My eyes were opened. You know, this verse says, open thou mine eyes. Listen, you may not see the dedication we're calling you for. You may say, well, you know everybody. I'm as good as everybody. I won an old sinner one time, an old millionaire. He come to my church. He was my friend. And I witnessed to him. His mother was a good old Methodist woman. She is godly. I said, why in the world didn't you get saved with a mother like you have? Here's what he said. He said, Brother Wayne, I'm as good as a deacon in the big church downtown. Well, I knew the deacon in the big church downtown. His money got him in there. He run around on his wife, kept a woman in another country, in another city. He owned a mansion, the prettiest piece of ground in Elizabethtown, Kentucky, about near. I couldn't refute that. Deacon at the church, got anything? He's wicked. I said, well, I can't tell you nothing. But I'll tell you this much. I wouldn't let a sinner going to hell drag me to hell behind me.
Amen.
I said, I'll make my own mind up.
Yes, sir.
So he went on. Next time I had him down to move a trailer, sold it to a guy. He's going to pull it for the guy. He's standing out there watching his man pull that old trailer out of there. Elizabethtown, Kentucky, Bethel Baptist Church. He stood out there and he said, you know, preacher, I ain't never forgot what you said. That light shined.
Yeah.
It did, too. I said, well, let's get saved right here. He said, I ain't ready, but I ain't forgot what you said. I just let him go. It wasn't long. I came in real late. I preached a revival somewhere and came in late one night. That darling wife of mine, she said, honey, Victor's in the hospital and had a heart attack. He's been calling for you. Light. I walked up there and knocked on that coronary care unit. That woman was aggravated. I knocked on that door. Opened the door. She looked at me in disgust, and then she knew who I was. She said, oh, preacher, he's in the fifth. He's in room five down there. I walked on down about 1 o'clock, 12 o'clock, something. Walked on down, his little light shining, monitors on his heart. He was laying there with a wash rag on his head crying. I said, Vic, what's going on? Shook his head, couldn't talk. Started crying. I said, Vic, good men cry. Best men I know cry. He didn't want to cry. I said, the best men I know, I'm just pulling that hole open for that light. Boy, he busted a crying like a baby. I said, if you died in that heart attack, where'd you be? He said, I don't understand, preacher. I'm as good as men I know. He said, I made $1 million honestly. I ain't never done nothing. I don't lie to nobody. You know, you don't know where these words come from. I said, Vic, I'm going to ask you something. I can't refute a word you say, but I'm going to ask you, is you as good as Jesus? Shoot, buddy, I'm telling you, I could have stuck him with a cattle prod. So he'd come awake. The monitor went crazy. He said, no, I ain't good as him. I said, that's how good you're going to have to be.
That's right.
I said, I said, you know, Vic, you don't have to get on the floor on your knees. You lay right there on that stainless steel bed. And cry out to God and ask Him to save you, and He'll save you. Buddy, he closed them eyes and called out to God, and the monitor did go bad. And them women run down, I'm talking about 1 a.m, run down to look, see if he died. He didn't die. It's the first time in his whole life he was alive.
Amen.
Oh, my. Ah, what a man of God. He couldn't come to my church. He was married to a woman, wrong outfit. She didn't want us to get him. She wouldn't let him go to church where she was. And, I mean, she wanted him to, and he wouldn't, but he couldn't go to my church. But he gave me money, and he gave me presents, Thanksgiving, and Christmas, and said, when I die, you preach my funeral. But she wouldn't let me. She wouldn't let me. It's all right. That won't change anything. He went to heaven.
No, sir. That's right.
Because that light shined that day. That little bitty light.
Hey, man.
That man was a good man. I'm going to tell you tonight. I don't know who you are or where you are. I know one thing. If that light don't shine, you're going to be in trouble.
You're right.
They say, well, Brother Wayne, I won't see that light. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to have to try to see that light. You tell God you won't see that light. He'll make a way somehow to move in branches around so that light will shine right through there. I'm telling you, a half a mile of woods. A half a mile of dead woods. And that little bitty orange light out of my mother's back window found a hole through all them dead trees and limbs and shined right in my old hungry eye. And God done the same thing. Shine through all them old sticks and briars. And shine in my life.
Amen.
And told me how to be saved. I'm telling you, I stayed on conviction 6 years. Don't you know I was in bad shape?
Yeah.
6 years, buddy. How old are you? See, I was 7 when I started. And I was your age when that light got me far enough that I knew what to do. Now I'm telling you, I went down. Here's what I did, buddy. Can I just testify?
Yeah.
I mean, I was the wickedest kid I knew. I was wicked, more wicked than you could dream at 13 years old. From 7 to 13, I was wicked, buddy. Say, Brother Wayne, how wicked? I wouldn't tell you if we were in a room alone and I knew you'd die in the next minute. Oh, I can't tell. No, I don't even tell nobody.
Right.
The filthy, wicked mind I had. And you know what about it all? I couldn't tell nobody. Couldn't tell Mom and Daddy. Didn't have no friend I could tell. Didn't have no preacher I could tell. Didn't have no brother I could tell. Didn't have nobody I could tell. I was just stewing in my own juice.
Yep.
Cooking in my own filthy ways.
Right.
He said, what did he say in Psalm 40? He said he was in that pit.
Horrible pit.
Yeah. And the Lord inclined unto him. You know what that word inclined means? He went down in there with him.
Right.
Inclined unto him. And he heard his cry. And lifted him up off out. Also out of a horrible pit. Put his feet on rock. Put a song in his heart. Directed his path. That's what he done for me. He heard a little boy.
Amen.
I had no friend. I had nobody I could tell my life to. I was sick, buddy, sin sick, bad sick. I mean, bad sick. And I was in a camping trip. And a deacon said, God loves you. And Christ died for you. I said, that's the dumbest statement a man ever made. Told any, he'd tell anybody that. I said, man, you ought to find out who you're talking to before you tell that stuff. I didn't tell him that. He's answering to me foolishly. But that little word stuck to me, that light, stuck to me till I got to church. And I'm sitting there in the biggest stress, son, I'm telling you. You cannot believe how tight it was, Danny. My nerves was plumb to the end. I'm going to do something tonight. I'm going to do something tonight. I didn't care what that preacher preached. I didn't care if he read a comic book. I said, I'm going to do something tonight. I'm going to do something tonight. He said he'd save me. That man said he'd save me. And sitting on a back pew, I said, I ain't going. And some kind of little voice said, you tried everything else. Why don't you try what he said? Now, I'm telling you, I ain't lying to you. I remember as plain as day. Buddy, that's been 60 years, 61 years ago. I'm just telling you tonight, I'm telling you that's what he said to me. Say, that ain't how you get saved. Well, you get saved wherever you want to, but that's the way I got saved.
That's right, yeah.
I sat back there on that pew where your piano players, under that big old window where the deacon sat. He didn't come on Sunday night. I said, I ain't coming. He said, you tried everything else. I said, I'm going to tell you this. This is how it was. I didn't say it in my voice. I said, if you don't take it all, leave it all. Don't take nothing. If you ain't going to change me and get this straightened out with me, I want nothing to do with it. This is a game and it's not true. If you won't make me new, I don't want none of it. I was at the end. And when I stepped over the end of that pew, sir, they didn't need an altar. They didn't need nobody to read to me. They didn't need nobody to pray with me. Praying was done. I'm telling you, the clouds rolled away. I said to somebody, I said, if you ain't had an experience, if you ain't had experience with God, you better go back and do something again.
That's right.
Because getting saved is an experience.
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah.
I said to somebody, do you believe in experience? And no, I don't. I said, well, what happened to you when you got saved? That's a good reason to ask that question.
Yes, sir.
And this person said, well, all I know is the burden rolled away. I said, what else do you need?
Yeah.
That's what happened to mine. It all rolled away.
Amen.
All that stuff, I couldn't tell nobody. He took it off of me. Just like that. Pow! It was gone.
Gone. Yes.
He gave me eyes. He gave me ear. Gave me an understanding heart. And I walked that aisle, and they put my name on a roll. Baptized me into that church a month later. I'm telling you tonight, if you don't see that, and see where you are, and see what you need, it's not His fault. You start crying Mayday. I don't care if you're saved or not. If you're saved, you need more.
Right.
There's a lot more to God.
Oh, yeah.
I've had a love affair for about 16 years. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. That's what I told Him when I started. I started this a long time ago. I said, this is wonderful. This is good. This is wonderful, Lord. Can I believe You've done this for me? That You've gotten this truck with me? And You have filled my heart with love, and You have filled me up with Your presence, and I've got, and I can't get it out. I want to jump out of my truck and run and holler and turn the truck over. I said, this can't be. I said, can this happen again tomorrow? He didn't say a word, but I drove out there tomorrow. And she happened again, only just a little more.
Amen.
One day, Brother Joel was riding down the road, and I had a rough day. A rough night. I woke up with the old devil right on my face. Y'all want me to quit? I'll quit.
No, go ahead, brother.
Right. So I woke up, and Tossie got up, and she can't hardly walk. She gets worse and better sometime. And she said, how'd you sleep last night? I said, pretty bad, honey. I said, I'm feeling pretty rough. I said, I really need to go pray. She said, well, go on. She said, I'll take care of it. It's a Friday. She has spring cleaning every Friday. It tires the house all to pieces. And I feel guilty not helping her because I love her so much. So if I don't get out of the house, then I'll just work like a dog, you know, trying to help her. She said, take off and pray. And I took off. I went over by Chatsworth and down through the mountain country, down through there praying. And about 3 hours, I got thinking about her. And I called her and I said, honey, how you doing? She said, oh, I'm doing great, honey. She said, I just do a little work, sit down and rest. I'm doing great. She said, how are you doing? Well, I said, I got the cloud off of me, but I ain't got the song back in my heart. She said, well, stay over until you get the song back in your heart. And about 2.5, 3 hours later, I come home singing. Then, honey,
yeah.
It happens all the time. And one day I was driving out through there, and I said, I prayed for about 3 or 4 hours. And I said, Lord, you just left me, ain't you? I said, what you doing? You've left me. You ain't giving me nothing. It's just like you said. You don't pray for sermons. You pray for Him to give you something, and you give it. You just take your food and give it to them. And I was driving down the road. I remember exactly where I was at. I can take you right to the place where I pulled off on the wrong side of the road, pulled over in the grass. And I said, what are you doing, Lord? I'm hungry. I need some food. I need some song from heaven. Boom! He come right through there on me. Just like that, I said, man, I tell you what the word was. He said, you know it where it said the Spirit moved on the face of the water? Remember that in Genesis?
Yeah.
And that's the verse that he said, the wind's still blowing. Boom, I went out of sight. I said, oh, Lord. And that may not mean a thing to you, but that light's on for me.
Amen.
I could see it, you know. And I said, man, Lord, that's wonderful. So I put my car in gear. Pull back out to cross the road. Before I got across the road, he gave me another thought. Just boy, burning him off. I'm just telling you, every day with Jesus now, if you don't believe that, it's because you ain't got eyes, ears, heart. If you don't believe that, it's because you hadn't tried Him. He will take you further every day than you were yesterday.
Right.
I'm telling you, every day, every day. You ask my wife, I'll say, oh, honey, have you seen this? Did you see that? And she's beginning to come in this worship thing with me.
Yeah.
She's beginning to see His marvelous ways.
Right.
Telling you, we are cutting ourselves short if we go to heaven and have to learn what heaven's about. It says, I have not seen, neither have I heard, neither have entered the heart of man things. He's dealing with the ears, eyes, and the heart.
Yeah.
The things that God has laid up for them that love Him. Then He tells you in the very next verse, but the Holy Spirit hath revealed them to us. Amen. And the reason why we don't have them is because we don't go to the next verse.
That's right.
Show me, Lord. Just show me. And when it comes, you know it's right.
Yeah.
You don't have to say, well, I'm going to check that out and see if that's right. Oh, you don't have to do it. You don't have to do it. You know it's right.
Right.
Oh, let me tell you, I don't know the times that done that. Yeah, I know y'all tired. Let me tell you this. I preached on the treasure in the field where a man was plowing, hit a box, stopped the mule, opened the box, saw the treasure, closed it back up, covered it up, went to town, bought the field, cheated the man out of his field, bought it for all he had, but he got that treasure. I preached it that way a whole lot, whole lot. I preached it that way. I don't know if I can find my hands. So one day, it ain't been long ago, I preached several times like that. Pretty good sermon, I thought.
Yeah.
I was out there praying one day. He said, I would never, never tell you to take advantage of a man by finding something in his property that's worth more than you pay for it. And you buy it off of him for nothing, and you got way more than you paid for it. He said, I'd never teach you to do that. I said, then just tell me what you are teaching me. He said, that's my field. I own that field. And I put the treasure in that field.
Yeah.
And if you'll go work in that field, I fix it so you'll find that treasure.
Uh-huh.
And then when you get that treasure, you'll come back and say, here's everything I own. I'm going to give it to you just for the treasure I found.
Amen.
He'll say, well, okay. He'll say, go plow some more and see what you find. Go plow some more. And there's another treasure. And I come back and I say, oh, Lord, I give everything I got for this treasure. He said, go plow some more. If you keep plowing, the whole field will be full of treasure.
That's right.
Because He wants you to have the treasures.
That's right.
He planted them there for you.
Yeah.
That's what that's teaching.
Yeah.
If you'll do what God told you to do, find a treasure in.
Yeah.
He called you to preach. Treasure. If He called you a mission field, treasure. If He called you to be a janitor in the church, treasure. If He called you to be a Sunday school teacher, treasure.
Yes.
He's got a job for every. Old Warren don't have the corner on the purpose-driven life. Every preacher I know is worth anything. He's always preached that everybody gets saved, got a purpose.
Right.
Yeah, he just made a lot of money on it. I'm glad he's quit preaching. He ain't worth a plug nickel.
Right.
So tonight, if you listen to me, If you'll ask Him, He'll get you in line for that little light from home. And that little light will say, I got what you want. Come on home. Coaxing you to come home. Coaxing you to warmth and love, food, the treasure in the field. Come on. Follow the light, you'll find it. I don't know what God's got for you, but I can tell you one thing. It'll be worth everything you give to get in it. Just quit this messing with the world.
Right.
Dr. Green said, take your hands off your life.
Right.
I don't mean you quit your job. It means you make Him number one.
Right.
See, one man said, never own anything. You know what he means by that? He don't mean don't have the deed to your property or the house or your car. You know what he means? That's always in question. You say, get rid of it. How we do it, Lord? You tell me how to do it. I'm rid of it. Give it away. I'd give away several cars. I needed the money. But I sure needed Him more than I need that money.
That's right.
And I give them away. I give them to sinners too. I give two of them to sinners. Yeah. Say, Brother Wayne, don't that make you upset with them sinners? No, it don't bother me one bit. I don't even think about it. I don't even have to forgive them. There ain't never was nothing against them. Huh? They're sinners. What do you expect them to do? I may give another way for them done. I gave every bit of my money away. It never is wrong to obey His call, that little light.
Yeah.
Right.
I want it all, Lord. He'll say, well, here's what I want you to do. He told that rich young ruler, he got down and got right down where that light was. He said, give her everything away. You can have it all. He shut her off.
Right.
Walked away lost. The Bible said Jesus loved him.
That's
exactly what it says. Well, I don't know where I preached the right thing or not, but I think I did.
Yes, sir. The
preacher was in my heart.
Right.
I wonder if there's anybody, in here tonight would say, Brother Wayne, I hope you'll believe me that I think I've gone somewhere that almost nobody ever goes spiritually. I don't look by my nose at nobody. I think it's so unfortunate that the whole church hasn't found this glory in Jesus.
Amen.
I think it's so unfortunate.
That's right.
We're living a low life spiritually when we could be living like we were kings. I'm telling you, God will take care of you. I have cancer that will kill me. You know that? Stand right here. I'm going to die from it. The PA said the other day, said it ain't going to stop. I'm going back Wednesday to get a blood test, and Thursday they're going to tell me what. And I'm going to have to take a pill. It's the size of the end of that ink pen right there. I got one right now. A woman ain't even supposed to hold it. She's going to triple that. And right now, I can't hardly walk. What's it going to do to me? Yeah, that's really bothering me. If you'll wake me up tonight about 12 o'clock, you'll call over at the motel and wake me up. I'll worry about it for you for about 10 minutes. I don't think I can worry that much.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't care if I don't make it out of this pulpit. I told that woman I loved her and I treated her like a queen the last time I touched her. The last people I saw, I told them I loved them. Every time I talk to him, I say I love him.
Yeah.
When I call Ken Jenkins, everybody I call or send a text to, I try to tell them I love them. And I do. I love them. And I love you all. Don't you want part of this?
Yes, sir.
Come up in here where I'm at. If I'm further up the head than you are, I'm not bragging about it. I'm anxious for you to get there. And if you're ahead of me, call back to me and I'll run as hard as I can to get to you. I want more. I haven't ever had. I can tell you this. I'll quit. I'm aggravating you. I'll stand right here and tell you this. I'll tell you this and I want him to listen. I have never had all I could stand of him. I've never had enough.
Amen.
I don't believe he can do that.
Amen.
That's pretty hard statement.
Yeah, it is.
But he's going to have to work hard to fill me up, buddy. Because I've found so much in him.
Amen.
I'm telling you, I'm anxious for the next step. Today's another day. Tomorrow's another day. He's going to do something today he didn't do yesterday. And tomorrow, he'll do something tomorrow that he didn't do today. And every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. And new heights I'm gaining every day. And that's the truth. And only God, he's the only one that can break his own record every day of your life. And we ain't even started on it. Say, Brother Wayne, you've kind of painted it up pretty good. That's your problem if you don't find out. I've told the truth.
Right.
I've told the truth. I bragged on him, and I'm just telling you, you can't brag so much that he'll say, hush it down a little bit. You've gone too far.
No, sir.
No. He said, I'll show you things that you don't even think about.
Right.
He said, to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge.
Yes, sir.
Contradicted himself.
Yeah.
Would you want to come and pray tonight? Lord, there's new heights for me. I want more. I want some more. I want some new food and a new song and new sparkle in my life. I want radiated something out of me. Would you do that for me? I yield myself to you. Have at it, Lord. Please have at it. Do everything and all you want to do. Wouldn't you want to come together, pray and ask God to do that for you? Won't you stand to your feet? And I'll pray for you, but I'm telling you, I ain't bragging. I'm just telling you, I found out that he's everything he said he was. He's everything and more than I thought he was.